Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
This show is an oddball, and I love that about it.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Do you think we can get a second play out of the wheel spinning bit? There's also only like two things left. It's more of like a coin flip. Let's flip a coin, Rudy.
I don't know. How do you make a...
I don't know. I was going to try to do that
I
with
really
you, actually.
Don't know.
Hold
yeah.
on. It's flick.
Swoosh, 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 swoosh.
Ding, ding, ding. Oh, it's head. Ding, it's tail. Ding.
Oh, it landed up right. How did that happen?
It's on the edge. Well, you know what that meant, actually. That's Aaron Rodgers. Because I actually had three topics. And so I was either going to be Antonio Brown, and he's the feet side because he almost burned his. And then the K-Rod Manning cast is going to be the head side, of course.
Because when you do steroids, your head becomes very big. And,
right.
And Rodgers is still on the fence about the vaccine. So. Mm-hmm.
And Michael Kay also could have done some steroids. And then, right, yeah, and then Aaron Rodgers just has everyone on edge. / on the fence. That feels like a good...
We got there.
We got there somehow. In the next hour, by the way, Mick Schaefer, KSHB 41, will join us for the return of the Mick Schaefer Hour, which is really exciting. So we'll have him in about 55 minutes. Not that anyone's counting.
57 with SportsCenter.
Yeah, it's still pretty good. But I do want to play this. And I will say also, I'm over it. We didn't talk about, the Aaron Rodgers MVP vote # controversy. We haven't talked about Aaron Rodgers all that much on this show, partially because we haven't had shows as well. Sometimes he's done things, and honestly, and this isn't me being tiptoeing around it or anything. I think Aaron Rodgers has largely peddled disinformation as sort of a faux intellectual, if I had to sum it up really concisely. I think sometimes that type of skepticism can be helpful. In this case, I don't think it has been. I think Aaron Rodgers asking things like, why haven't we spent more time as a nation working on actual treatment for COVID? Him asking that question when it can be answered by all of science and medicine has been for like a year and a half. That stuff annoys me to no end because it's silly. Asking hypothetical questions that have real answers sucks. It doesn't help anybody. But that's we have not talked terribly extensively about the whole Aaron Rodgers saga. Clearly, I've got my opinions on it that I've given you the gist of. But I'm also kind of over it. It's kind of all of it. His Manning cast appearance was kind of a weird vibe. I don't know why. It just felt a little bit strange.
That's kind of just everything he's done over the last year, especially.
I think it's everything that has come out of his at-home Zoom shot, I think might be it. Where he does his McAfee hits, maybe. I don't know. Obviously, there is something to his, set-free press conference that I thought was fun and kind of wild. I remember we talked about just him in Hawaii with Shailene Woodley and
Miles Teller.
Miles Teller. Yeah, I could not remember his name. Thank you, Rudy.
The fact that I remember his name is, honestly, shouts to me.
And I think Miles Teller had some vaccine stuff also that maybe should have tipped us off a little bit earlier before we found out about all Aaron Rodgers' vaccine stuff.
And then Miles Teller's wife, of course, who I don't believe was ever named.
That is also, you're right. That is
she
what
was
happened.
Just known as Miles Teller.
It was Aaron Rodgers, Shailene Woodley, Miles Teller, and Miles Teller's wife, which feels unfair to her. Good point. But they were in Hawaii, uncorking bottles of wine, listening to Taylor Swift. And that seemed nice, you know? Aaron Rodgers seems like a weird guy, but a lot of people that I like the most are weird people. I think we have seen that come out in a way that has been deeply unhelpful for Aaron Rodgers as of late. But anyway, again, everything about some of that weird stuff has been kind of an enticing weirdness until now, and now some of it's like, again, I think actively unhelpful, maybe actively harmful. In fact, actively harmful. Anyway, that's a bit of a tangent, because all of it is leading to something that is only vaguely COVID-related, I guess. But, and this will also be true for Antonio Brown here in a minute, I'm a bit of a, I don't know, drama-holic. Is that anything?
Doesn't sound like you.
No, it really doesn't. And not like in the reality TV sense. I don't really care. I'm not thrilled with set-up
about
drama.
Real-life, scripted, fake drama.
Right. That might be my least favorite type of drama.
Right, because it's real.
But it's not.
You know, it's off-the-cuff drama that was totally scripted and fake.
And then there's purely scripted drama, which I love.
Yeah.
Great television, well-written and all of that. Well-acted as opposed to the reality shows that are not as well-acted.
Sure.
But then there's the real-life drama. And I think if you love sports, you are on some level a bit of a drama-holic. I most of the time do not care about the teams in the Final Four. I certainly, and that might be a little bit too specific, I definitely don't care or know anything about half of the teams in the NCAA tournament every year. There are probably 40 teams in the tournament every year that I'm like, oh, that's nice that they're here. I know their mascot. I know their coach, maybe. And probably couldn't tell you a player off of the 13 seed, right? But man, I love the NCAA tournament. You probably do too. Because it is a perfect stage for drama. It's awesome. Every single night in the early rounds, you're going to get a handful of buzzer beaters, close games, and then thrilled college students advancing to the next level of the biggest stage of their lives so far.
And a 10-year-old crying.
And always kids crying. Kids in the stands. The kids on the court. Adults in the stands. Adults on the court.
There's always some kid in one of those games bawling his eyes out, and he becomes a meme.
And it's always great. It's always wonderful. Because it's drama. And again, I think I will, given the opportunity, I will watch any championship. I'll watch the gold medal curling match. You know, I think on some level we all understand that. And I also, and this is a little bit different, I guess, but I also like the type of drama that comes from Russell Westbrook being added to the Lakers. I think that stuff is fun.
You know, I've seen a lot of that.
That they're already over it?
Slightly off topic.
That's fine. We're all
related.
Off topic.
Because that just reminded me, they showed earlier tonight just like Russell Westbrook's numbers. Very good, but it was like lowest of his career. And I feel like I've seen a lot of, you know, and like literally in the same night, they all showed James Harden's numbers, lowest of his careers. I feel like there's a lot of stars in the NBA who I'm now seeing like lowest of their careers. Just a little weird.
It is kind
of a little weird side note that I noticed. Part of that might just be is that some of these guys are getting weirdly old.
That's what I was thinking.
Like,
is
Steph
the...
is older than we realize he is. Yeah, he's having a great year. But I think even Steph is shooting some of his, like he's having a really good year, but he's shooting, I think, some of his lowest numbers that he's ever shot. Because some of these guys are just weirdly old.
In the conversation we were having yesterday about like Brody Croyle and Aaron Rodgers and everything, I think you're exactly right. Is that guys get older and then eventually you see some of those down slopes.
Starts to a little decline.
LeBron James is 1 year younger than Brody Croyle. LeBron is 37. Didn't we decide that Croyle's 38? Is that right?
Yes, that is right.
I mean, yeah, he's 38. Just like silliness. And I think that greatness from a guy like LeBron or from Tom Brady, whenever Ben Roethlisberger breaks down Or eventually, whenever James Harden does, which again, I don't think that we're... James Harden's not been Roethlisberger. Do not hear us say that James Harden's been Roethlisberger.
And
that's right,
like, right, like with Russell Westbrook, when it's lowest of his career, he's still averaging, it's like 19.8 points, over 8 rebounds, over 8 assists. James Harden, his lowest scoring, I don't think it's the lowest of his career, I think it's his lowest though since like his rookie year. And he's still scoring like 22 points a game.
Still really good at basketball.
Like, still good.
But Tom Brady and LeBron have broken our brains on how athletes can age.
Yeah.
Because they are wildly the exception. Anywho. I like our little Russell Westbrook drama. I love Drew Brees. But the transaction drama and the locker room drama and stuff like that that becomes storylines in a real way, I think is typically kind of fun. And I'm just about there with Antonio Brown. And I think I have crossed the Rubicon on Aaron Rodgers. I love watching him play football. He's my second favorite football player to watch play football. Behind Daniel Sorensen.
Understandable.
No, but like Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers are my two. I hope that's the Super Bowl. Partially because I'd love to see those two guys actually be able to go head-to-head. Partially.
No, State Farm does.
Partially, because if you listen to the right people, you might just believe that it would be another edition of Patrick Mahomes versus Jordan Love. Listen
Maybe
to this
Jordan
clip.
Jordan Love versus Chad Henne. Maybe something weird happens.
Ooh.
Let's get a weird Super Bowl. Jordan Love, Chad Henne.
That sounds like a waking nightmare.
I'll take the Chiefs.
Listen to this clip. This is Boomer and Geo. Boomer Esiason is one of the voices. I don't know Geo's full name. I'm pretty sure the show is called Boomer and Geo. There's a lot packed into this. This is just a clip from their show, and they'll explain it for you.
You want to read it?
I could read the whole thing if you want me to.
Yeah, go ahead. You can read it.
All right, I'll read the whole thing.
This is a text message.
Boom, the Rodgers saga continues to get crazier and crazier. I've been told by multiple people in Aaron's direct circle that if the Packers make the Super Bowl, he will use the week leading up to the Super Bowl to prove a major point. He will threaten the NFL by saying he won't play in the big game or next season if they don't eliminate some of the COVID-related rules. One big one that upsets him the most is the testing of non-symptomatic players. He's told Jordan Love to be ready. Like you said, he's got to make it first. But Super Bowl week will be set on fire and send Goodell in a frenzy navigating the situation. Now, can I say what area of the country this is from? I mean, who are we protecting really here at this point?
Of course, you want it out, right? I mean, you want him to...
Is it someone that we should be trusting with their information?
I would, yes.
Now, my favorite part of that is the first word of the text message. I don't know if you could just hit that for me real quick, Rudy. Whenever Gio begins reading, the first word of the text message is where I knew that this audio was going to ultimately be magical.
Boom, the Rodgers saga continues to get crazier and crazier.
Boomer Esiason must love being called Boom.
Yeah. Because I'll be honest, I didn't realize this the first time. I just assumed the text message was essentially saying, like, boom, like the sound effect, right? But it's like, no, maybe he's saying... Boom, as in Boomer.
Rodgers saga continues to get crazier and crazier.
Is he boom?
I talked over. Hit that again.
Boom, the Rodgers saga continues to get crazier and crazier.
Still not sure which boom he's talking about.
I think it could be both. I think that Boomer Esiason, if you meet him and you say, yeah, hey, boom. Mr. Esiason, nice to meet you. Or if you say, hey, Boomer, nice to meet you, he goes, no.
Boom.
Call me Boom.
I think... Anytime you talk to Boomer Esiason, when you say boom, you mean it's both. You are both saying, hey, boom, but you're also saying boom. I think it's always both at the exact same time because that's the way Boomer Esiason would want it.
100% agree. Also, that video was tweeted out by Funhouse. They're at back after this. And that was retweeted by Aaron Rodgers with a quote, he's told Jordan Love to be ready, three laughing crying emojis, hashtag direct circle, Hashtag dumbest bleeping story ever. Hashtag fake news. Hashtag boycott fake news. Hashtag boycott bums. Hashtag boycott shoes. Hashtag boycott waterfalls. Hashtag boy. I don't know what that's about. Hashtag boycott AJ smoking cigars. We're thinking it's about AJ Hawk on the Pat McAfee show smoking cigars. Hashtag boycott LaFleur's brows. He talked about those in the Manning cast. And hashtag, I don't know what that word is. I'm not going to read it because I'm afraid. It seems like it's probably an inside joke, but I don't know how to pronounce it or what it is. So I'm nervous. I'm, as I've previously circled here, kind of over it. And also think some of it's kind of funny. I don't know what Aaron Rodgers would really be able to gain from that. It's also the craziest clause for a boycott ever of if I get to the Super Bowl at the end of this season, by the way, I am going to threaten to not play in the Super Bowl because I want to be tested less often when I'm asymptomatic. Man, that rule is going to change by the start of next season anyway, man. And he knows that, right? Like, probably?
Yeah, maybe.
I want to know so bad.
Bright guy.
Fair. I want to know so badly who texted that to Boom. I was going to say his full name, but I decided to eject it. Boom, and it felt good. I want to know who sent that to whom so bad.
Darren Fodgers.
I thought you were looking for a last name, and I was like, I don't know what you're going to do here.
Darren Fodgers.
Does it make sense that I can be a little bit, that I am totally here for that audio clip? Boom. But I am about over everything else around it. I think I'm kind of done. It's all so adversarial.
Done with what?
Boom.
I meant the saga. Aaron Rodgers.
Just like, if you took an umbrella and put it over
the
it.
Aaron Rodgers saga.
So it. You want me to say it like really strong, like a good talk radio host?
Just say you're done with Aaron Rodgers.
Listen. I know you know this. Talking about this now already. I'm turning into Mad Dog, I think, cadence-wise. I was going to go out and say it. I am done with the Aaron Rodgers saga.
Boom, the Rodgers saga continues to get crazier and crazier.
I'm over it. It's done. I don't need to know anymore about Aaron Rodgers. What's in his bloodstream?
Boom, the Rodgers saga continues to get crazier and crazier.
What's in his shoe?
Boom, the Rodgers saga continues to get crazier and crazier.
What's he going
to
say on the radio show? If it's on
Boom,
YouTube?
The Rodgers saga continues to get crazier and crazier.
I'm not over it. He's on the Manning cast. You know what I do? I watch the game on ESPN.
Boom, the Rodgers saga continues to get crazier and crazier.
You know what I'm talking about? John Madden. You love John Madden. If John Madden was on today, you'd be watching the Manning cast.
Boom, the Rodgers saga continues to get crazier and crazier.
I mean, can we get just the boom? I feel like just the boom really at that point might turn into a full, like, bold exclamation point. That might, boom might become the yin to any who's yang. You know what I mean? Any who is sort of a soft transition. Boom is a punch in the face of my opinion.
Boom.
That's a tough one. It's tough because he's
not great.
No,
yeah.
He didn't read it very clearly. I'll let you tinker with it. While we're here in the boom, I'm about over it category, Antonio Brown went on a podcast and talked a lot of bleep about a lot of things. He bullied the hosts into telling him that he was the best receiver on the Buccaneers this year.
Boom.
There we go.
It's better.
It's better. He talked about all of that. He talked about how Tom Brady's only really his friend because he's good at football, which, by the way, he's probably right. Like,
boom.
That's on me, actually. Not as a shot at Tom Brady, but, like, Tom Brady wouldn't invite the sixth receiver with all of Antonio Brown's problems to live in his house, probably, if he's not Antonio Brown.
Boom.
But this was the part that that I can't help but pull myself away from. And I know that I'm telling you that I'm kind of over the Aaron Rodgers saga that just got crazier. Boom.
Boom.
But here's what he said on the Full Send podcast, one of a thousand things. But this was tweeted out by Greg Allman, and this is the part that I care about. Antonio Brown on the Full Send podcast says former Steelers offensive coordinator Todd Haley, now new head coach of USFL's Tampa Bay Bandits, texted him saying he needed to come and win a championship on his new team. Bleep out of here, Brown says after having the text read aloud on the podcast. I tweeted this earlier, and I'm sticking by it here. I know that these are all human beings, complicated ones, yeah, as all of us are. Let me have this, Rudy.
Some of them might not be human beings.
Ja'Marr Chase isn't, but that's not because of who he is as a person. It's no. How he is physically, yeah, and his four arms.
He's an alien.
But these are human beings with their own problems, stories, issues.
Ja'Marr Chase is finding a t-shirt that has four armholes.
They all have their different issues.
Yeah.
Antonio Brown's is keeping his socks on in a cryo chamber. It's like, that's pot shot. Is that fair? I don't know.
Yes. Actually, yes.
Maybe.
It's completely fair.
It's probably fair.
If you freeze off your foot, almost, you don't get to like those jokes are allowed to be made for a long time.
Probably. Okay, we're going to get really dark here now. Oh, God. I'm going to come back to that. I'm going to say my joke and then get really dark instead of saying the dark thing and then trying to make the joke again. These are human beings, and these are not TV show characters, okay? I am genuinely trying to be actively better at keeping that front of mind as we're talking about players and coaches and all and public figures. There is a human being behind those face masks, under those helmets, on the sidelines, on your television screen, on your radio, believe it or not. Human beings with lives that continue outside of the public eye. Trying to keep that in mind. But if I could just get Antonio Brown being coached by Todd Haley in the USFL, I would really like to just, if I could cash in like one more token of kind of putting some moral distance between myself and what I want to watch on television. I just think that amped Todd Haley coaching Antonio Brown would either lead to 70 points a game and a championship or a ferocious sideline brawl by halftime of the first game.
Maybe both.
And maybe both. We do spend too much time around each other, Rudy. Because maybe both. It could be a fight at the end of their championship. It could be a fight in week one. He could come back and lead them to 75 points a game. And I just want to know. I just want to see it.
I'll say the fact that Todd Haley's already thinking that Antonio Brown's NFL career is over with and that he really needs the USFL probably isn't a good sign for Antonio Brown if he is wanting to play in the NFL, which appears that he does.
He said business will be booming next year. So I guess he plans on it, yeah.
I think we've talked about this off air, man. The NFL will forgive a lot of stuff if you are good. A lot of stuff.
Be good.
Hit a woman. Eh. We'll look the other way. Quit in the middle of a game, though, is like the one, maybe the one taboo that you just like cannot come back from.
Abuse, cheating, I think gambling on games. Did that guy ever play again? I'm not sure.
Maybe.
Yeah, violence. Yeah, any of those things. Quitting during a game is an interesting one that you pull out there, Rudy. But for the most part, if you're good at football and you stand during the national anthem,
yes,
you can get a job again.
Quitting during the middle of a game might be the one thing. Because, I mean, like, go back to Marcus Peters, who technically did not quit during the middle of the game. He thought he was ejected during the middle of the game.
Right.
And it never was the same. I mean, like,
It
was already trending in the wrong direction for him in Kansas City, but that was kind of like the final straw into a lot of fans. It's like, oh, well, he quit on the team. Like, look, well, no, he thought he was ejected. Literally, a Chiefs assistant coach also thought he was ejected because he was walking with them on the stadium. I mean, Antonio Brown, like, just straight up took off his shoulder pads.
Yeah.
On the sideline.
Yeah.
And then now he's just like calling out the other, you know, the Buccaneers.
Right.
On a lot of fronts. And I don't know how, if you're any team, and he's good. He is
still
good.
Really good.
Still very, very good. I really do think this might be just the final straw.
Yeah. I think there's a chance you're right. Someone pointed this out on Twitter. I don't remember
I do not think he's going to play in the NFL again. It wouldn't be the most shocking thing in the world if he was on a team next year because he's really good at football. And teams are so desperate to win, especially like right GMs and coaches, because their jobs are on the line.
Absolutely.
And there's a lot of money on the line. So I wouldn't be surprised, or I wouldn't be like shocked, but I would be surprised if he is on an NFL team next year.
This is where it gets like really dark again. So, dark warning. But like, we just found out recently that Vincent Jackson, in his late 30s, I think, basically drank himself to death.
Yeah.
Not just like in one like huge, but like a serial over drinker, alcoholic, whatever, and then you find out over the course of years, and you find out that he has CTE. I don't remember. I think Vincent Jackson may have had some sort of like incident earlier in his career, but it wasn't like a huge series of things. You also have guys like who have, you know, literally killed people after their careers, and they check and they go, "Oh, that's there's CTE here." Obviously, there's a wide range of all those things. It's not all created equal. Not everybody with CTE does horrible, horrible things or ends up having horrible addictions or whatever.
Odds are, if you played in the NFL long enough, you have some form of CTE.
Damage of some sort. But there's the degrees to it.
The vast majority of NFL players don't have that stuff happen, right? Because, like you said, there are a lot of degrees to it.
And other factors in play in all of that.
Yep.
But it is... And I wasn't perfect at this out of the gate, you know, literally a week ago. But, like, the more thought you put into that, the harder it becomes. Like, this is also dark, but, like, Vontaze Burfict's name was trending after Antonio Brown left the field.
Yep.
Because they're like, did he do all of this stuff before that hit? And I think that there were some things before that. And CTE is more about the subconcussive hits, the repeated blows to the head that you suffer, more so than one big concussion.
Hit. It's the fact that you've, especially for like a guy like Antonio Brown, has been getting hit in the head since he was
his whole life.
Seven?
Probably.
Eight? Nine? I mean, maybe even earlier, right? Yeah. Like you just never, like, I don't know exactly when he started playing tackle football. Probably pretty young.
Yep. And again, this is not on any level like everyone who plays football is going to lose their mind. We've seen a enormous majority of former players, like, you know, have successful lives and careers after their football playing careers are over. But the more that all sets in and the more examples of that come up around former NFL players and everything, the harder it becomes for me to see stuff like the Antonio Brown thing and go, that's probably just a person being weird and a diva. There's certainly some of that. But, and again, even CTE versus repeated concussion, just the things that we still don't really know there, part of me wants to be cautious about it, and part of me wants to point and laugh and say, look at this crazy thing that Antonio Brown's doing. Because it's not just the sideline blow-up. It's that then he goes on to a podcast, and this is what somebody on Twitter mentioned earlier that I thought was interesting, of like...
That night or the next night, he was he was on the front court of the Nets game.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know what I mean? Like, he was...
Courtside.
Yeah. That's the word I was trying
to... He was playing in the front court.
Playing in the front court with the Nets.
And then there's that, but then, again, so something that somebody on Twitter mentioned was that the Buccaneers either knew or should have known, like, put Bruce Arians out there to shoot down some of those accusations and then just sit back. And eventually Antonio Brown is going to talk himself into a hole again. And people are going to see these clips and they're going to say, come on, man, why you left the team or you were cut or whatever, but what does Mike Evans have to do with this? Why do you have to say, why do you have to put down Mike Evans and Chris Godwin and Rob Gronkowski, a couple of fabulous pass catchers, and say, you know, I mean, I'm the best guy over there. That's not, I don't know if that's helpful. Like,
and even Tom Brady is like, you look at Tom Brady's post-game comments about not even honestly talking about football, but just saying, hey, we just care about Antonio Brown, the person.
Right.
And then Antonio Brown's just like, well, you know, I'm not really his friend.
Right.
Like, and it's just like, there's some unnecessary shots in there that do not help out your own credibility, right? Like, and make you look more more unhinged,
right? And again, even that can be a part of other things that's going on mentally. You know, that doesn't make any sense. Yeah, it might not make any sense. He might have significant issues. I mean, not to be a pop psychologist, but like, there are some. This is not normal behavior, even for someone rich and famous and powerful and who has a brand and all of that.
Think of like Terrell Owens, considered one of the biggest divas.
Right.
Chad Ochocinco, one of the bigger divas.
Terrell Owens did push-ups in his driveway.
Yeah, and neither of those two have really much of anything, you know, close to this.
And right? Also, like, thankfully, nothing post-career.
Yeah.
You go, uh-oh.
Like, you think of other receivers who have maybe had some big issues. You know, Brandon Marshall's the guy that comes to mind. And Brandon Marshall admitted that he had, like, right, he battled depression, and that was stuff that he continued to work on and everything.
Right.
Like he came out publicly and was like, hey, I had mental issues that I had to work through. And so, like, it's again, like, I don't like being, like, because obviously I do not know what's wrong with Antonio Brown.
Right.
My guess is anybody who's played football as long as he has some sort of, you know, essentially, you whether it's CTE or just, right, your mindset isn't always going to be right when you've been hit in the head that many times.
Or just, I don't know, I don't know that it's fair to say that everyone who has had a bunch of hits to the head for a long period of time is dealing with something along those lines.
Of course, I just mean, like, I'm not like, I do not know that he has issues, but I'm just not necessarily, it's not surprising when you think about somebody who is showing signs of having issues, and then you also throw in the fact that he's been hit in the head a bunch of times. It does
right.
not mean you will, just like you can kind of put...
There's those, some cocktail there that
you can...
You
kind of start putting
can...
those pieces together, use
right.
as a little evidence to... It is likely that he is battling some sort of, you know, mental illness of some sort.
Right.
But I'm not... I don't know for a fact, because I'm not a doctor.
There's...
play one on the radio.
There is something in that equation that isn't quite right.
Yeah.
That we all see. And I genuinely don't know exactly how to navigate it.
It can be both entertaining and sad.
Yeah, I guess so. A lot of stuff is, I suppose.
It's a weird, you know, sports in general become this. And really, it's just with people who are famous just in anything. It's just, it seems like you normally see this more with athletes because they're more on a live, you know, they're more in your face live, right? Like, like an actor is doing all this work behind the scenes, right? Then you go and watch this movie. That nothing, but none of it's live, right? Athletes are doing these things live. They are playing sports live. They are talking back, you know, they're responding to questions live. All this happens. So, like, it's a little different, but, like, I think it's okay for something to be both entertaining and sad, because it's such a weird dynamic with sports.
And now I see a screenshot from what looks like an ESPN story. And this is the cycle, right? Here we go. Oh, come on. Where are we at? Here we go. In the meantime, Brown says he plans to be a coach for a team in the fan-controlled football league, a league that featured Johnny Manziel last year and has owners that include Marshawn Lynch, Austin Eckler, and Tiki and Rondé Barber. Source confirmed to ESPN's Kevin Seifert that the league is working on an agreement to finalize Brown as a coach. So we just had that, like, 10-minute conversation, and also, that seems wild to me, and also, I'd be kind of interested to see how it would go. I genuinely would love to see him playing in the USFL with Todd Haley.
It'd be fun.
And also, he isn't, like, he is also an actual human being with pretty significant seeming issues. I don't know, man. It's messy. And I think that we solved it, actually, over the course of this segment.
A weird, complicated, like, just universe.
Yeah,
that we
people
kind of live in.
That, I think the people that I butt heads with the most often in that realm are the people that are like, no, sports are simple in any form. If it's like, I don't want to know about your analytics, it's about if you throw the ball and complete it or not. Or if it's about, I don't want to know about what these guys believe or whatever, because it's just, it's football. It's what we get away from all these things. On any level, that might be one thing that I've been relatively consistent on, is that pretending that it's not all complex is silly and unhelpful.
Yep.
And so that's where we've landed. Also, I'm, as I mentioned at the beginning of the segment, kind of over it on some of those guys, some of those things. Like, everyone to be, like, healthy and chill. That might be my motto for 2022. 2022.
Healthy and chill.
Just try to be healthy and chill. We're all striving. Let's just strive for that, all right? We don't have to accomplish it perfectly.
Boom, just be healthy and chill.
2022, be healthy and chill. Boom.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
We've had a very like woke hour here, I feel like.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
What a time. Rudy, we had a conversation before the show, actually, that I think I've got something close to an answer on that I feel like might just go ahead and be really instructive for everyone. We got very serious and very sportsy last hour or last segment, and I'd like to change that. I'd like to fix that now. I think we just need a second. I will need to read the internet here at some point, but earlier we were talking about the new album from The Weeknd. I told Rudy that it includes DJing, like voiceovers, and a poem by Jim Carrey.
Which is still just so fun.
And so I asked Rudy, like, have you followed anything that Jim Carrey has done in the last, like, I don't know, 5 or 10 years? Because some of it's been very sort of like, I don't know, like existential and finding like an existential peace and.
I know, like, he's been very big into painting and like that.
Yes.
Like, he's got his own, I think, his own studio.
He
like
does.
Art studio.
The Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee with him and Jerry Seinfeld is an excellent one.
I'm pretty sure that's where I learned it because I'm sure that's where I saw it.
He goes through the art studio there. So Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee is a really good show, by the way.
Is it still going on?
I don't know. There's several seasons of it and a lot that I haven't seen.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've watched it.
I'm sure that COVID would have put a halt on it, at least. So I don't know if it's continuing. There's a lot I haven't seen yet still.
It was good, though. It was entertaining.
Yeah, I think it's a very good show. But so all that wasn't terribly surprising to me in that larger context. But I asked Rudy if he had seen anything with Jim Carrey or followed anything with Jim Carrey in it recently. And he said, well, he was in Sonic the Hedgehog. Oh, well, that's a good point.
I did not see. I just know he was in Sonic the Hedgehog. I hear that was actually a good movie. I've heard it's enjoyable. I need to watch it.
And who did he play in that movie, Rudy?
Dr. Robotnik?
I think he played Eggman.
Aren't they the same person? Didn't we have this talk?
This is the conversation we were having. This is what I've brought the answer to. So Rudy and I had this conversation. We won't reenact the entire conversation right now because it probably took 10 minutes. But Rudy was saying, well, I thought, say what you thought the Eggman-Dr. Robotnik relationship there was.
Essentially that they're the exact same person with different names because it's basically the original name because it's obviously Sega is a Japanese company. Game was created in Japan. Eggman was the name in Japan, and especially back in that time when things came over to America, they localized a lot of things. And, like, they would change a lot to make it more American-friendly. I mentioned this to Josh, like, if you go watch the OG Pokemon anime, I remember back when I was a kid, they have, obviously, naturally, a famous Japanese snack is,
like a sticky rice ball?
Yeah, like a rice ball.
Yeah.
And in the anime, in America, they called it jelly donuts, even though they obviously look like a rice ball.
Yeah.
Because our brains couldn't handle that, apparently.
Would have wiped out the nation.
Just done us all. So I assumed Eggman to Dr. Robotnik was an American localization decision.
I had always assumed that it was a Dr. Octavius to Doc Ock situation where there was sort of like a Dr. Robotnik before he went crazy or whatever to
Eggman was his villain.
Eggman becoming a full-fledged villain, right. I believe I have found sort of the answer here on Polygon.com with a bit of backstory and then the explanation.
Always count on Polygon.
Always count on Polygon. And to do that the best way I can, I'm going to need to read the internet. Can I do that? Can I read the internet? Thank you, Brady. I really appreciate it.
And now, Josh reads the internet.
The development team in Japan named the new character Dr. Eggman, a reference to the Beatles song. But when Sonic the Hedgehog was released in the U.S. on June 23, 1991, the instruction manual listed him as Dr. Ivo Robotnik. And then there's a quote here from Takashi Iizukiya.
Real fast, you said when the manual dropped in America?
Yes.
Okay. I just want to make sure I heard that part.
Tracking with your theory.
Yes.
When the game was originally developed in Japan, they called the character Eggman. This is the head of the Sonic team. That was the name of the character, but when the game got localized and ported into the Sonic the Hedgehog that we know in the West, they decided to, without confirming with the development team, change his name to Ivo Robotnik or just Robotnik.
That was a very common do not check in with the original development team trend back in the day.
Seems kind of bonkers.
I imagine still happens somewhat now, but probably much, much, much less.
That's kind of when everyone first learned about the character. Of course, this was without consulting the people who made the game. They just kind of went off and did it. So, the instruction book listed him as Dr. Eggman. Now the character has two different names. It says arguably the U.S. version was released first, but internally the Sega team never saw that as the official name. So, Rudy, your origin story is correct.
Yay.
Wait till you hear out how they retconned it.
Oh, I love a good retcon.
The names created so much confusion that Sega decided to unify everything in 1999 with Sonic Adventure. In that game, he is referred to as both Robotnik and Eggman. Since then, Sega has attempted to establish a canonical name for him. In an official Sega interview from 2008... Yuji Naka, one of the original Sonic creators, tried to back his way into a solution to the problem. Quote, to tell the truth, his name has not changed, said Naka. Robotnik is his real name, and Eggman is a common name taken after his shape. Here's the summary from Polygon. In other words, Eggman is an obnoxious nickname given to him by his haters, but Robotnik is what you'd find on his passport. Sure, it's a messy retcon considering previous statements, but whatever, it works. The retcon is what I thought happened. And so, I think in a rare case, I actually think we were both correct.
Nailed it.
But we're completely unaware of the other theory of how we got here. I think you knew the process, and I somewhere downloaded the canon. Which is wild! Also, apparently here, this is what about the movie? In the newly released Sonic the Hedgehog movie, Jim Carrey's red-loving, mustachioed villain is called Dr. Ivo Robotnik. But, during an important moment, James Marsden's character calls him Eggman as an insult.
Oh, yeah.
This actually follows closely with what Sega has presented as the canonical answer to the name debate. Though, bizarrely, Jim Carrey's character is not round in the film, so the slight doesn't make a ton of sense. I think it's about him being bald, perhaps? I don't know. That's me adding it.
Did you... Oh, you got it.
I haven't seen it. Here's the last sentence here from Polygon. In short, Dr. Ivo Robotnik, if you're inviting him to dinner, and Eggman, if you're kicking him out of your house. There you go. That is the internet. Also, someone in the comments says that his flying robots are shaped like eggs in the movie. I don't know.
Did you see the trailer for Sonic of the Wild?
I don't even think I know what that is.
Sonic Breath of the Wild.
No.
They announced, it's not really a trailer for it, but it's more just like a teaser, a little announcement. It's called Sonic Frontiers. It's an open world Sonic game that absolutely looks like Sonic Breath of the Wild.
Yeah, I'm looking at the screenshot, and it straight up looks like that shot of Link standing on the cliff with all of the mountains and the fields out in front of him.
Yep, it's Sonic Breath of the Wild.
Hold on, is this... It looks so much like Breath of the Wild, even with the tower of like looks very much like the temples and stuff.
Yep.
That it honestly looks fake. This is real?
Yeah, this is real. This was announced just a few weeks ago, I think.
It looks so much like Breath of the Wild, and also, I think 3D Sonic games have been more missed than hit.
Mm-hmm.
I would have a fun time running around a big open world as a very fast blue hedgehog
for sure.
Probably more so than I've enjoyed running around as a not terribly fast young man.
I'm sure it'd be pretty pretty fun. Also, Ice Pirate, I just had a comment.
Yeah,
I knew this. He points out. So, like in Yu-Gi-Oh! In the American version, they would send you to the Shadow Realm, which I guess you could say was like maybe Purgatory. I guess it was a place where you were just trapped. You were, but like not on Earth. But, like, in the original, like, the way it was created, it was that you straight up died. That you were dead. You being sent to the Shadow Realm is a reference to dying. But in the American version that was given, that again, that kids generally watched, it was more of this, like, I guess, like, purgatory is probably the best a description of it.
The Shadow Realm is a euphemistic expression specifically designed by 4Kids for the English-dubbed version of the Yu-Gi-Oh! Anime franchise.
4Kids was the one who did all of this, especially for your favorite cartoon shows, this weird localization. There's another one, actually, from Yu-Gi-Oh! That I just remembered. In the original anime, Yu-Gi-Oh! I mean, in Japan, there is a scene where they are going after Kaiba, and they have guns. And in the American version, they're holding cell phones.
Well, like, we know American kids aren't going to... We don't want to give American kids guns too early in their media. It is especially used...
It was a different time back then.
That's true. It is especially used as a euphemistic expression of death. That's wild! I did not know that. Good stuff, Ice Pyro. Good addition from the Twitch chat. I love that this realm basically kids bopped some...
4Kids did some
anime. Yeah.
Can't have guns on TV and also can't have rice balls. What's worse? Who can say?
I was just going to pull up some lyrics here really quick. In the kids bopifying of anime here really quick. This isn't real. This can't be real. This isn't real. Is this real? I've got lyrics for the kids bop version of WAP. It says, yeah, you're drinking up some water bottles. Bring a bucket and a mop for that watcher bottle. Because it fell right on the floor. Look at watcher bottles. I'm not going to try to find out if that's real or not. Because I don't want to live in a world where it is. And I don't want to live in a world where it isn't. So I'll just live right here in the Shadow Realm.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
This show's free. It's a free show. If you don't
hit shows sometimes.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
It seems like there hasn't been an official Kids Bop WAP cover, but there have been several attempts at it that have sort of polluted the internet. I'm pretty fond of I'm so bored in this house, I'm so bored in this house as the open.
I've been to a Kids Bop concert.
Yeah, all right, I'll take that story instead of reading more of these lyrics.
I took my niece to a Kids Bop concert 3 years ago, maybe, at this point. I've never seen her so, starstruck.
By, the kids?
Yes, by the kids.
Interesting.
It was
Are the kids famous to kids?
They have, just this group of kids that do all the, the performing and the traveling and the concerts and everything.
Right.
And she was just, now there was only 4 of them at ours. And I think there's normally, I don't know, 8 of them, something like that. But she was starstruck.
Wow. Do you think those kids know the real lyrics?
Of course. They're touring. You don't go on tours and not end up, just think of the drugs and everything. they're on tour.
The Smarties, the Sweet Tarts, just all ravaging the green room.
The Pixie Sticks.
The Pixie Sticks. They're, oh, my goodness.
Line those bad boys up.
Bring a fork and a knife for these waffles and pancakes. Give me everything you got for these waffles and pancakes. Eat it up. Yeah, I love it all. Extra large and extra sweet. Put this pancake right in your face. Yeah, these waffles just can't be beat.
They really can't. I like the version of that song better.
Some of these are still bad. Still really bad. Get a napkin and some OJ for some waffles and pancakes. We'll have Mick Schaefer's pancakes next. Mick's back.